I just wanted to tell a little story before our groups go to their various locations. There was a little girl, and she was given a Bible. She lived a long way from the church in where that had given her the Bible, and she used to make this trek, if she could, on a Sunday. And she fell ill. And while she was ill, she decided that what she would do is put aside some of her pocket money in order to give to the church so that other children possibly could have Bibles too. But then she heard that the church was planning to do a building project, that was going to cost millions. And she decided, so she wrote a note and put it with her things, because sadly she knew she was going to die shortly, that the money that she'd collected would go to help build this new place. And when she died, she left just a few dollars. I can't remember the exact amount, but it was not many dollars. But this building project was going to cost millions, and the first thing they needed to do was buy the land. And when the landowner heard of this little girl and how much she'd put aside with her pocket money, he sold the land for the amount of the pocket money. And on that site now, there is not only a Baptist church, but there's a hospital, a school. There are several amenities, all run by the church. Through the small gift that that girl had dedicated to God and given to him. So however old we are, whether we're less than one or just slightly less than 100, God calls us to be generous people who give of what we have been given by him so that his kingdom can be built and his kingdom can grow. So we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Riches in heaven. Do not store up riches for yourselves here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are. This is the word of the Lord.
This gives me a little bit of an opportunity to say something. And that is that today you have the privilege of hearing Tim, not singing, but speaking. And in a sense, I've had in my mind that Tim could do this for a while. So it was interesting when he came to me and said, I think I have a message from God for the church. And I just publicly want to thank Tim for all that he does in this church in leading our worship. But I believe that God is going to do more through him. And He preached at 8 o'clock, but in a sense, this is his first time again preaching here to you. And I'd love us just to pray for him before he speaks. And then after I've prayed, actually, why don't we give Tim a huge welcome and thanks. Let's pray. Father, we bless you for Tim and for his faithful service of you, Lord. We thank you that your Holy Spirit rests upon him. And we thank you for how he leads us to your throne of grace in worship. And now we pray, Lord, would you come by your Spirit and fill him, anoint him, and speak through him. And Lord, we pray that as he does that, you would give us open ears and hearts to receive all that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Tim a warm welcome.
So, no pressure then. This feels very weird. I feel like I should be holding something and stuck over there, but now I am no longer confined by wires, so I can move around. And you all seem very far away from up there, so I may well come down here if that's okay. I am losing my voice, so hopefully it will last, but I'm taking that as a good sign, because obviously somebody doesn't want you to hear that message, this message that I have for you this morning. And this is as much a surprise to me as it probably is to you. We went to France in the summer, and we went to the south of France. That's a long way, and we drive when we go on holiday. So we had to stop over. And on the way home, we were driving back. I stayed in a hotel, and I'd been driving all day, so I was pretty tired. And so we went down to sleep, and I just couldn't sleep. And I still couldn't sleep. And then I don't really hear an audible voice of God in my head, but if I did, it would go something like this. Tim, I want you to speak in church. Okay, God, can I sleep now? Tim, I want you to speak on giving. That's quite a hard one, God. Are you sure? Yes. Okay. And so it was about 4 in the morning, and I still couldn't get to sleep, and my talk was just going over and over in my head. What would I say? And so I eventually got to sleep, got up the next day, drove home. A few weeks later, at PCC, we were discussing giving, and it was mentioned that there was a gift day, and I said, I think God's given me a message, expecting people to say, great, that's really good for you, Tim. But no, I was encouraged to speak. So here we are today. So, the reading I have is from Acts 4, verses 32 to 37. As we read this, let's pray. Father, would you open our eyes to what you are saying? Would you open our ears so that we can hear? Would you move in our hearts, Lord? As we open your word, in Jesus' name, amen. So, I think this is on the screen as well. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So what is going on? It sounds like a kind of Christian version of communism in that everyone has everything in common and shares it. What is this Christian utopia? it helps us to understand the context in which this happened. So if we kind of reverse back to the beginning of Acts, we had Pentecost, where God's Spirit came in power, and many thousands of people were touched by the Spirit and became, I guess, the first Christians. But who were all those people that, I think in the Bible it says there were about 3,000. Who were they? Well, at the time in Jerusalem, there was a festival on, and it was called the Festival of Weeks, which I think the name is Shavuot. Can we all say that together so I don't sound funny? Shavuot, yep. No native Jewish speakers here, are they? So they can't correct my pronunciation. But this was the Festival of Weeks. It marked two things. One was when Moses was given the Torah by God on the Mount Sinai, but also it was a big wheat harvest. So devout Jews would come to Jerusalem at that time, and they would worship and give their offerings. So that's why there were a lot of basically tourists in Jerusalem at the time. Now, those 3,000 who were touched by the Holy Spirit, they wanted to stay in Jerusalem and hear the teaching from the apostles and experience the fellowship. But the problem was, they were tourists. They hadn't planned on coming for a very long time. They'd just kind of come for a holiday almost. So the early church had a big problem. It's a bit like if we ran an alpha course and 20 busloads of people all turned up, came to the first session and said, right, yeah, we're in. We want to be part of this church and we're going to stay. What would we do? There were some very practical needs that people had. And that was the need that was seen at the time. Now, hospitality was an obligation in the culture. If you were not hospitable to your guests, that was shameful. And so what were they going to do? So sharing just made sense. We've got a big problem. We've got a need. How are we going to solve that? Let's share everything, because then no one will go without. And we also read on verse 33 that with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them. So what was it that made God's grace so powerfully at work? Well, I believe it was the fact that they were unified. There was unity among the believers. It wasn't particularly that they were sharing everything. It was because they were of one heart and mind, which is what we read in verse 32. And that's really the important bit. They needed to be in unity. They saw the need and they came up with a practical solution. And an outworking of that as well was that they became known by their generosity, and it became something that was a tangible sign that also authenticated the message of Jesus. So they saw the need and they met it. Now, we have a need here. And what I'm going to do now is try and highlight to you what the need is. So I've got some slides which are nice pictures. So this is our average monthly expenditure, which sounds very grand, but this is where our money goes each month. Now, you probably can't see the text, but the important thing is the big blue bit there is our parish share. Over the course of a year, we pay our parish share of £82,040. That is a lot of money. So you may be thinking, what does that give you? Well, that's the amount of money that we give back to the diocese, and it's the diocese who pay for things like vicar's salary, accommodation, training for curates, all the things that it takes to run the Church of England in Suffolk. Now, that is a lot of money, and it's different for each church, and they try and do it fairly so that a church is not burdened with an amount that they can't pay. I've spent many, many hours over many years, Gail is laughing, talking about what we could do about the parish share. The reality is, that's what it is. That's what it means to be part of the Church of England. We've also got wages, which is the next big item. We have staff who work in the office. We have a youth worker. That takes money. But that's the cost of doing church. Then the smaller ones at the top, we've got utilities, tithing, because we give to charities as a church. The photocopier is expensive. Insurance is expensive. And then we have, again, the expense of doing youth work. But I'm sure you'll agree, the fact that the vicarage is full of young people is a great thing, but does come with a financial cost. So on the next slide, we've got, where does the income come from? Is there a magic Church of England fairy who bestows thousands of pounds each month into our account? Well, the only income, so if you could see those small slivers at the top, 1% and 2%, we've got wedding income averaged over the year, once you take away expenses, £67 per month. Funeral costs, £246. Everything else comes from us. If I could have the next slide. So this is a graph showing how much money is given by standing orders. Now, I include standing orders because it's very easy to track the number of givers that comes in each month. With cash that's given into the collection, obviously that's given anonymously. Some people give via envelopes, but I didn't have these figures. So I'm using standing orders. And as on the previous graph, you'll see that standing orders account for almost half of all our giving, which is really good because standing orders are basically the gold standard for giving. If you add on gift aid as well, that's fantastic because the government give 25% extra on top. But the great thing about standing orders is they appear in the church accounts without anybody having to do any work at all. The other methods of giving all involve some sort of work, whether that's counting cash, taking money to the bank, checking stuff in. Standing orders are great, so we'd really encourage you, if you're giving, to consider giving via standing order. Of course, the problem there is that I know a lot of people like to physically give something when the collection bag comes round. When you're giving by standing order, you don't really get that. I appreciate that's a problem, but at the moment I can't think of a way around it. So you'll see from here, there are 41 people who give by standing order each month. The most is £500. It then fairly rapidly goes down by about here. You're at £100, and then there's a lot of amounts that are smaller than £100. Melissa and I, I'm sure, talking about money is very uncomfortable for us British people. I think the Americans are much kind of more open about talking about this. So I can only talk about how much I give, and I hope you won't be offended. I don't do it to boast. I do it to just tell you about what goes on for us when we give. Now, currently, Melissa and I give around here. We didn't always. We give according to what we're able to give. And through that giving, God has blessed us so much. We have never wanted for anything, and yet we're able to give. And I'm always wanting to give more. God, I think somewhere in the Bible, in some translation, it says, God loves a hilarious giver. I am a hilarious giver. We also give to other specific funds. When we thought about having a youth worker, we set up a fund and we said, if people would like to give specifically for a youth worker, then that would be great. That gives a sign of how much sort of feeling there is behind this. So there are 9 people each month who give specifically to the youth worker fund. And I should add that if the youth worker fund doesn't cover the cost of the youth worker, which it doesn't, it comes out of the general fund. So don't worry if Matt still gets paid. Melissa and I also really believe that our youth are important. They're not only the church of tomorrow, they're also the church of today. And that's why we're effectively putting our money where our mouth is. And we give £150 a month to that each month. And I'm always looking to increase that. You don't have to give specifically to these funds, because as I say, generally, the general fund will cover everything in the end. But I know that this is a real encouragement, and I know that Matt gets quite concerned about giving because he can see the spreadsheets that we come through, and he is a big expenditure. But I would argue that the lives that we're changing and the youth that we're now seeing in church, that missing generation, is really important. We're also giving to the Annex Fund as well. Although it's built, I don't believe it's completely paid for yet. We're still in negotiations with the builder, and some people are still giving to that. So there are lots of ways to give, and if you've got a particular passion for something that you would like your money to go to, you can talk to the treasurer and say, I'm giving this amount for this purpose. So hopefully that's kind of highlighted the need. That may look very scary, but as a way of encouraging you, can I tell you a little story about the PCC? So I think it was in January of this year, we were looking at the accounts, and we were not able to make what our parish share was being asked for. We didn't have enough money in our funds. So that was very difficult, because we were wanting to be involved in Inspiring Ipswich, and we wanted to send out the signal to the world that we were really invested in this. And to be honest, it doesn't look good if you're saying, yeah, we're up for church planting, we want to see the church grow. But sorry, we're about £13,000 short on our parish share, because if you don't pay it, somebody else has to. And whilst the diocese does have reserves, they're not very much. So if we don't pay our parish share, it means there's not enough, and the money has to come from somewhere. So we prayed about it, and we put a basket round, and we said, please would people pray and pledge to give what's on their heart. We knew the number that we had to reach, so we prayed, and then we gave. And between 9 members of the PCC, we raised £22,100. And so here we are. We can see the need. We are called to be generous. We are a generous people because we worship a generous God. In the reading that Dan read to us, we heard that we are not to store up treasures for yourself. And these are the words of Jesus. We are not to store up treasures for ourselves on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So reading that, how do we store up treasures in heaven? What does that actually look like? I would say that's when we invest in his kingdom on earth. If you have heard any of the testimonies from Alpha or from baptisms or confirmation, you would hear of real lives changed, of addictions broken, of people being set free. And those are a real encouragement and a joy. And that is our mission. That is why we're here. We're here to help restore people's relationship with God. God is changing lives, and we get to join in. If you turn to general savings advice, generally people say, start small. But the most important thing is to start. It doesn't matter if it's small. And also to do it first. Because if you wait until the end of the month to save money, it's all gone. I think the same is true of our giving. You may say, I can't afford to give. But everybody can afford to give something. I've mentioned the ways of giving. Standing order with gift aid, if you're able, is fantastic, because it means that the government will top up your gift by 25%. Regular giving is actually better for the church, because it means that the PCC knows how much money we've got coming in. Gift days are great, and I participate in gift days as well, and probably Melissa and I give more than we do over the course of a year for our regular giving. We give more at gift aids. So we have an exciting opportunity. I say it's exciting because it's a lot of money, £13,000. But we worship a great God who's able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask for or imagine. So we have an opportunity to join in. One more piece of advice from the Bible, from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I think you were given a gift envelope on the way in. There are also some pledge pieces of paper at the end of your pews. I appreciate that this is a big decision, and you may need to consult another person before you make a pledge. But we're going to leave a few minutes of quiet. I would love it if you were able to give what you feel in your heart you're called to give, because I'm really excited about what God is doing here. It feels like we're on the verge of something really big for this town. And I would ask you to invest in God's kingdom today. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to have a few minutes of quiet. And then, because giving is worship, we often, when you say worship, you think it's sung worship. But our giving is also our worship, because worship is also worth-ship. Where do you put your worth? And when we worship, we're demonstrating, we're singing songs of love to our King. When we're giving, we're saying, God, my worth is in you. Everything I have is from you. And here is a small part back. So I'm going to pray now. We're going to have a few minutes of quiet, and then I think we're going to have a basket come forward. We're going to have the offering at this point as well, so if you'd like to put your regular giving into that there as well. We're going to bring that forward to the front, and we're going to pray and thank God for that. And then we're going to worship with singing. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you that when we were still far off, you sought us out. You called us home. Thank you that you have brought us together into this family. And thank you that you want to involve us in your kingdom. Thank you that your kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. And so, Lord, this morning, we want to give back a small portion of what you have given us. Just like a child uses their pocket money that they are given to buy a Christmas present for their parents. Although it is small, we know that it pleases your heart. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you help us to know what you are calling us to give? And Lord, may we give with joy, knowing that you love us, you want to bless us, and you can do more than we can ever ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.